Welcome, everybody. My name is Ron Benzel, and I live here in Middleton, and I'm a part of what's called the Middleton Action Team, which is the group that has brought you this event for tonight. If you're interested in being involved with or getting information on what's going on in Middleton, on the back table there is a sign-up sheet. We'd love to have you on, and Tom is holding it right now. We don't have many people's names on it, but if you'd like to, and if you haven't been getting information from us recently, then you're not on the list, is the quickest way. And, you know, it's the Middleton area, so if you want to, you know, it's not hard boundaries. We're willing to take anybody in the area that wants to be a part of it. Do we have back there, Carol? Do we have the list of things that the team has done, or is that not available, that Rose did? Okay. So we've been involved with a lot of different things over the years, service projects, civic projects, organizing things like this, and speakers, and all of those good things. So we'd love to have you in our loop if you're interested. And the other thing, there is a jar back there. This is free event, but it did cost for, you know, the stuff that we're having. So if you have any resources that you'd like to donations, feel free to put it in the jar back there at any point. Popcorn and soda. And before I start with our first introduction, is there anything I've missed, Tom, or anybody in our group that I should have said or not said?
Restrooms are around back through the door. And
okay, that's good. That's an important thing. So we have three brief events that are presentations to make before we start the movie, and the first of those is a song fest from the Raging Grannies, who are over here, and I will take it over. You guys take it away.
Our first song tonight is called 676, and refers to the House bill that John Conyers has brought before Congress repeatedly, and it has never passed. We're hoping that with Senator Edward Kennedy's passing, that maybe it will pass in his honor. So we dedicate this to him tonight.
Our old granny went to work, but when she needed health care, her insurance company said she could kiss their derriere. What does our old granny need? Single-payer health plan. Private profits have to go. 676 is our demand. Junior's tumor's very big. He needs an operation. But though he works, he can't afford it. What an abomination. What do working people need? Single-payer health plan. Private profits have to go. 676 is our demand. In the House and in the Senate, grannies will be raging till there's Medicare for all. Now that's a fight worth waging. Listen to the grannies rage for single-payer health plan. Private profits have to go. 676 is our demand. Every other nation has a single-payer health plan. Private profits have to go. 676 is our demand.
Our next song is Standing in Need of Single Payer, and these words were written by our own Lee Burkhalter of Madison.
Another granny.
Yes, who could not be here tonight.
It's my mother and my father and the uninsured standing in the need of single payer. It's my brother and my sister and the underinsured standing in the need of single payer. From your birthday to your death day, you will have health care. When we have a single-payer plan, if you're married, single, straight, or gay, you'll have insured. When we have a single-payer plan, if you're hired, then you're fired, you'll still be insured. when we have a single-payer plan.
From retired to expired,
you will be insured when we have a single-payer plan.
There's no premium deductible and no copay
under a single-payer plan.
Doctor's orders are for health,
not corporations' will
under a single-payer plan.
Who will pay for it, you ask us?
We will, with our taxes. It's the way to get the health care that we need.
Provided payments will be fair,
the funding will be there when we banish inefficiency and greed.
Corporations that insure us
don't do anything to cure us.
So without a doubt,
we need a single-payer plan.
We are needy
because they're greedy.
So let's throw them out
and vote in a single-payer plan.
Let's you and me and everybody in the land
vote to get a single-payer plan.
Let's you and me and everybody in the land
vote to get a single-payer plan.
'Cause we don't want a second-best plan when we can have the very best plan. So we're not shirking, we'll keep on working for single payer. Let's hear it. Yes, we can.
Reminding anybody that came in late, there's soda and popcorn over here. Feel free to get it. Our next presentation is this is a very serious subject, but the grannies have an aspect on it. There's also a humorous aspect to all of this, and our next presenter, our act, will bring out the light side of this, and maybe some of the ironic and other sides too. So without you, David, come on up, David.
That's enough.
Thanks. Is there going to be the chat? Because it's coming right across his forehead.
Well, we are here to learn about health care reform, and when you want the straight information, who better to call on than a comedian? I know that a lot of people here are in favor of a single-payer plan, and just to be fair, a lot of people outside this room are opposed to it. And I would like to, in the interest of fairness, present a summary of the objections to a single-payer health insurance plan. Number one, it's socialism. Number two, it would be paid for at least partially by taxes. And any real American would rather pay $1,000 to an insurance company than $300 in taxes. Number three, socialism. Number four, it's what they have in Canada. And nothing good ever came out of Canada, with the possible exception of Alex Trebek and that bacon they've got. So take a hike, Canada, take your universal health care with you, and while you're at it, you can keep those frigid air masses all winter, too. We don't want you. Number five, it's socialism. Number six, it would destroy freedom of choice. Instead of being able to choose among hundreds of health plans, each with its own network of literally dozens of doctors, hospitals, and pharmacies, we would be forced into one plan, and our choice would be limited to every doctor, hospital, and pharmacy. Number seven, it's socialism. Number eight, it would stifle innovation and creativity. And we all know how innovative the insurance industry has been. Among their more creative innovations are the concepts of pre-existing conditions and experimental procedures. These alone have saved millions of dollars by allowing the insurance companies to not pay for the care of thousands of patients. Where would we be without these things? Number nine, It's socialism. And finally, number 10, it's socialism. Now, recently, Sarah Palin has emerged as an authority on healthcare reform, mainly due to the fact that from her living room window in Alaska, she can actually see a sick person. But whatever you may think of Sarah Palin, credit where credit is due, she mounted such a ferocious attack on these death panels, which do not exist in any healthcare reform package, that senators took out a provision that could have been interpreted by a complete idiot as having something to do with death panels. I think it actually had to do with the wood paneling in doctors' offices. But that's okay, because the Democrats are more than willing to take out just about anything. They began by not even including single payer, which would have been the most comprehensive solution. It appears now they're ready to drop the public option because they want bipartisan support for health care reform. And to that end, they are ready to drop reform, followed by health, finally followed by care. And the ironic thing about this whole thing is that it's not going to work. I mean, they could come up with a plan that would cover everybody, guarantee increased profits for the drug and insurance companies, and be completely paid for by Iran, North Korea, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban, and it still wouldn't get a single Republican vote. Because they don't want health care decisions to be in the hands of government bureaucrats. They want them to be exactly where they are now, in the hands of insurance company bureaucrats. So just remember, this is America. We have the greatest health care in the world, and in order to keep it that way, you just have to follow three steps. Don't lose your job, don't change jobs, and most important, don't get sick. Thank you so much.
Pass one of these down on the east side of this. Again, if you'd like to be in the loop in terms of information that the Middleton Action Team, the activities that we're doing or whatnot, feel free to put your name on here and we'll keep you in the loop. So I'll just start over here. And if you're not, that's okay too. This is free and open. Okay, we have one final treat for tonight before we do the movie. And Dr. Jean Apoff is here joining us all the way from Seattle, Washington, I believe. Portland, Oregon, to talk about a really neat experience that he's a part of and that hopefully we here in Dane County will be able to share and experience here in the very near future. So without further ado,
thank you. Right. Thank you. About 3 weeks.
Bye.
I know this needs to be quick so that we can get on to the film. It's really fun and exciting to see all of you here. I appreciated the songs and I appreciated the humor. It's great. Because this is something about which we are mad as hell. I'm a member of the group called Physicians for National Health Program, and we got our Portland chapter organized about four months ago. And we started putting it together so that we could develop an action. And what we did is we said, you know, who saw the movie Network 25 years ago? You remember that? Mad as Hell?
Not going to take it anymore.
So that's where our name comes from. And we're the Mad as Hell Doctors, and we decided that we're going to go from Portland, Oregon to Washington, D.C. to demand single-payer health care. So six of us bought an old Winnebago 1985 van. We have wrapped it with our slogan and so forth, and we're headed out. We're going to visit 21 cities along the way and end up in Washington, D.C. on the end of September and demand it. We hope to build a caravan along the way that will have hundreds of cars and thousands of people who will join us. So I won't take this
road trip.
Road trip, yep. You're all welcome. What do doctors do? We make a diagnosis. You know, we look at things, we say, what are the symptoms? What is the history? We do an examination, check some tests, talk to our consultants, the specialists, come to a diagnosis and make a treatment. So the healthcare system is sick. That's what Michael Moore is going to show you all tonight. And I think you all know it from the sounds of it. But we're going to look at the systems of our healthcare, look at the patients, this healthcare system, past history, do an exam, check out the tests, and get the opinions. I may not have time to get through all of those tonight. Symptoms. Expenses are out of control. Here you can see that in the 10 years from 98 to 2008, wages went up 29% on average. Inflation actually went up 44%, and if you're wondering why it costs more, it's because it does. But out-of-pocket medical expenses went up 115%, and healthcare premiums went up 120%. And we cannot keep doing that. Second thing is, we don't have enough primary physicians. It's hard enough getting an appointment as it is, but you need more primary docs. Here's what's happened since 1970. We've had a growth of physicians, about 2.5%, whereas the growth of healthcare administrators has gone up 30-fold with all the HMOs and PPOs and health plans. And the reason for that is there's money in it. The other thing is that Americans are losing their choice. You know, if you think about choice, most insurances aren't available to you all. There are over 1,500 health plans in this country, but if you work at a company, how many of those plans do you think they offer you? One, maybe two, if you're lucky. Most people actually don't get that. They get what's offered, so they don't really have a choice. On top of that, if you look at where people are distributed, half of the people in this country live where there's only one hospital, and it's not going to compete with itself. Businesses can't cover their employees. You've heard how much costs General Motors to pay health care to, you know, what is it, $800 a car, something like that. One out of every seven Americans does not have health insurance. If you look at the rise of uninsured Americans, it's been phenomenal. You know, Switzerland in the 1990s decided that they had a catastrophe on their hands because 5% of the people in Switzerland were uninsured, and they passed national health insurance to rectify that situation. We got 16% uninsured. What are we going to do about it? This one I like. Since I'm not completely dead, I can't collect on my life insurance. And since I'm not completely alive, I can't get health insurance. Sometimes being a vampire sucks. Finally, personal bankruptcies are huge. And I'm sure you've seen some of these statistics. Of the people who went bankrupt because of medical expenses, and frankly, right now the statistics are that 62.1% of all personal bankruptcies in this country are due to medical costs. 60% of those people had private insurance. Others had Medicaid and Medicare. So basically, 3/4 of the people who went bankrupt because of medical costs had some insurance coverage, but it didn't cover what they needed. Let me quickly look at the history. 100 years ago, there was private and charity care. You know, you went to the doctor, gave him a chicken, or paid for it in cash, whatever. But there was nobody in the middle. 60 years ago, insurance companies realized there was money changing hands and decided they want some. They figured out how much they would have to charge 1,000 people to guarantee that all their care would be met for a year, and they charged them a little more so they could make some profit. 30 years ago, they were making so much money, they decided that what they would do is try to squeeze it a little more, and HMOs, PPOs, preferred provider organizations, started to try to contain the costs because the less they pay out, the more they have for shareholders. And today, of course, what's happened is that we see 16% of our gross national product going purely to health services, and another 2.5%, which, by the way, is about $600 billion a year going for the administration and profit and marketing and all these things they do. Now, when we do the exam, we find substandard outcomes, limited access, and uneven distribution of care and excessive drug prices. I'll just go through these real quick. Obviously, much lower satisfaction with insurance coverage. We have shorter lifespans in most of the countries where they have single universal health insurance. We have worse maternal and infant mortality. We actually have fewer doctor visits because people can't afford the co-payments and all that it takes to go. And then we have less hospital care. Our hospital stays are about 7 days per person per year compared to about 0.7 days compared to 0.9 versus 1 day. Unnecessary procedures, lots of them are done because there's money in it. Hysterectomies, bypasses, angiography, and so forth. We find that the investor-owned HMOs, the ones where they're making a profit, actually provide lower care on things like immunizing kids, doing mammograms, putting people on beta blockers after heart attacks, and so forth. And we also find that over the last 25 years, the number of HMOs that are investor-owned has increased. That's the light blue ones at the top. They make up a greater percentage. This is an old slide. This is from data from 2002. 18,000 people who died with diseases that were preventable had they been insured and been able to get care. Last year, the most recent update on this, they estimated it was 22,000 people who died. Dissatisfaction is clear. 2008 CAP study showed that they surveyed almost 500,000 people in every single state in the union, found that 59% of people on Medicare thought their health with health care, their insurance rather, was excellent or very good, compared to only 36% of people who had insurance with private companies. Shorter lifespan, here's how we stack up against some other countries. And you say, well, that's because those folks have different lifestyle. Well, there's also this claim you probably have heard that they let the old people die. Well, it's not true. They actually do a better job of keeping them alive longer. Drug company profits, I want to comment on this middle. The lower yellow ones are Fortune 500 median profits or return on investment. The red ones are all the drug companies. Guess what? They're making a lot of money. And there's a reason they put all those Viagra ads on television. This is their cost structure. You'll hear them say, well, we have to have this money and charge that much so we can do all of our investigation and research for new drugs. You'll notice that the research, R&D, is 13%. That's because most of the research you and I have already paid for, because we're supporting the tax-supported institutions, the university hospitals, all the institutions that are doing basic research, and then turn this over to drug companies when they license it later on. Most of it, the biggest share, is marketing. That's where it goes. This is a slide that my brother did, and I just have to show you. People say you can't trust the government, they don't know how to do anything right, and it's going to cost too much. Here's what a U.S. Army soldier, I'm sorry this is hard to read, but a U.S. Army sergeant makes $47,000 a year, including an $11,000 housing allowance and medical care. The contractors for Halliburton and Blackwater make three times that amount for doing basically the same job, driving a truck. So that's us, Mattis Health Doctors. You can handle the truth. Tell everybody. I recommend making absolutely every single day a phone call to your representatives, your senators, and say, I want your guarantee that you will vote for single payer when it comes to the floor. That's the single message they have to hear. And then just put it on your calendar every day. Make the call. Have the phone number right there by the phone. Tape it on if you need to. And just every day say, hi, I'm just calling to say I really want reassurance that you're going to vote for the single payer bill when it comes up for vote. If they get enough pressure, I think they will do it. A couple quick cartoons. This is one of my favorites. Thank goodness healthcare isn't run by some big government bureaucracy. Kids, your mother and I have spent so much money on health insurance this year. Instead of a vacation, we're going to all go in for elective surgery. You have the audacity to come to us with a pre-existing condition? And this is one of my favorites. I was able to get in one last lecture about diet and exercise. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See some hands in the air. We don't have time for a discussion. So if you've got anything that's very, very clarifying, quick, go ahead.
Can I just mention the date?
Thank you.
The Mattis Health Doctors is going to be in Madison on the 17th of September. There's a rally at the Capitol, 5 o'clock, State Street entrance. We're going to have a number of programs at the university, at the Unitarian Universalist Church before that. They're going to be getting here at 1 o'clock on the 17th. There are a lot of activities going on. If anyone has an interest, please, you know, let us know. We'd be glad to keep you up to date on all the plans as well.
If any of you signed in on those sheets that just went back, you'll get it. You'll get the updates and the info quickly.
Is there a possibility you can get a copy of that presentation
This, I can. I've almost got it together. There are some slides I left out I'd like to put in, but yes, I can do that. I'll get to my brother Charlie.
If you give your email, you can email it?
Sure.
Okay. Great. Excellent. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. This presentation, and I think the movie we're going to see in just a second here, is really driven home to me. We're not talking about health care, we're talking about sick care. And if we talk about what needs to be revised or need to be reformed, that's it. And I think we really have been misnaming this, mischaracterizing this. Tom, did you have a...
I wanted the website of Dr. To give us the website.
Sure. It's www.madashelldoctors.com.
Spell out D-O-C-T-O-R-S?
D-O-C-T-O-R-S, right.
Mad as Hell Doctors.
Mad as
Hell
Doctors.
Are all your facts on that? Are all your facts that you just...
We've got a whole lot more stuff there. There's a great video on the website by Paul Hochfeld, who's one of our doctors, Health, Money, and Fear. And it's excellent, just outstanding.
Okay. And now what we all came for, the showing of Sicko. It's about a two-hour movie. And Tom? Get your popcorn. We got a lot of popcorn up there, folks.
I think it's really important that we maintain that solidarity regardless, because the only way that we can ever get there is if we continue the fight for that solidarity. And we have organizations here in Dane County that are trying to build those relationships and build that community. And Ron's team here is an example of that, and the Dane County Grassroots Network is a family of those kind of groups. And if we can continue to build that kind of relationship between individuals and groups, in the end, we can get somewhere. If we go back to our couches and watch TV, we're never going to get there.
Thanks, Dave. If other neighborhoods or communities want to take this idea and run with it in Monona or Cambridge or anywhere else, I think it'd be phenomenal. We in Middleton are more than happy to share with you any and everything that we've done in our advertising and promotion. Yes, ma'am.
Has anyone ever made an attempt to get this movie on national public television?
I don't know. I mean, it was in the movie theaters for a while. But
I know.
It's a good...
That was, what,
call your local...
8 years ago.
That'd be a great idea, no?
That's a great idea. We should call them. Let's all call national public television and ask for this movie to be on as soon as possible.
Okay.
I've seen it on one of the movie channels.
Peter?
Rob, where did you get the... Did you rent it? Did you own it?
Library.
Library.
Middleton. Dane County Library System.
Okay.
Anybody else? This one over here.
I heard someone make a comment the other day that, you know, the one problem is that this has been presented as healthcare reform. And there are so many people in this country who are frightened to death of change, and reform is a word which is equal to change.
Right.
And his suggestion was that it should be called medical security.
Medical.
Because everybody likes Medicare.
Right.
Medicare, medical, so very positive. Who's going to go, you know, to their district and get elected that they're against medical or Medicare? And security as opposed to reform. Everybody likes Social Security.
Right.
You're going to go to your district, run for re-election, say, I'm against Social Security. Can't do it.
So you should have been among the smart minds in Washington that was trying to market what we've been doing. You're absolutely right. It's a great strategy and a great explanation of what we really are trying to do. Thank you all again very much. Once again, and if you want to be on our list, there's still opportunity to sign up and become a part of this movement.